Well, if you turn with your Bibles, my first verse today is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses here and then we'll make some comments. But so the Lord's put on my heart this message for a couple of days, actually. And it's not that I was fighting him or anything, but I just want to make sure, you know, sometimes, you know, we get in a path and we were going down one way. And I think this is an important message, though, for us today. I want us to be encouraged today. I want you to be strengthened today and realize a little bit about more about who we are and what we have in Christ. The message today is going to be about righteousness and His righteousness and what He has made us. See, everything that we have is based upon what Jesus already did. Amen? I know you know that, and I know we know that, but sometimes I think it's good for us to go back and look and see exactly where God has placed us. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 17 through 21. We're looking for that 21st verse, but I think this is really good. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So, we see here in verse 21 that we were made. Jesus was made to be sin for us. In other words, he took our sin upon himself. Just like in the Old Testament, when they had the lamb, they placed their hands upon the lamb or upon the scapegoat, and the sins would take off, and the lamb was given and the blood covered their sin. But here, Jesus became that sin for us. He actually took it upon himself, the sin of the world. Therefore, he's not holding, as we saw in verse 19, he's, you know, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us that word of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to God, we can say to people now. The sin problem was really dealt with. Jesus became that sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And when we say that, what does that really mean? It's the quality of being morally right or justified in God's sight. We can stand in his presence without the fear of condemnation, without his rejection, but fully enter into his presence with all confidence. Hallelujah. Because Jesus took it all. He didn't leave a little bit of sin left. He didn't leave a little bit of condemnation out there. But he made us the very righteousness of God in Christ. He imputes that or gives that as a gift. Amen. Mm-hmm. We see here in Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans 5:17 for a minute. We'll probably be back into Romans a couple of times. But it says here, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So here we can see here that it was the gift of righteousness that he gave unto mankind, that we were made right with God. He says, now you have the ability. You can come straight into my presence. I'm not condemning you. I'm holding nothing against you. You've been forgiven and you have received the gift. How many know a gift is not something that we earn? Amen. And that's real important because righteousness is not something we become. It's something that we are because of what Jesus became. I'll say that again, I think. See, righteousness this is not something that we become. It's something that we've been given because of what Jesus became. He became that sin. He took that sin to the cross. He died under the penalty of it. The penalty of sin was death, and we'll see that here in a minute. Because we're all created in His image. We all were made by Him. But when Adam sinned, it said there in chapter 5, you know, for by one man's offense, you know, Romans 5:17, death reigned by one. Well, who made the offense? It was Adam, wasn't it? Adam and Eve. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life by one, Jesus Christ. By Him, or through our understanding of all that He accomplished at the cross. The fact that He took care of sin, that our sin nature was destroyed. We receive then what? The nature of Christ. The very same nature that was alive unto God from the beginning. Jesus was not born in sin because His Father was God. So He came as that perfect Lamb. Remember when they looked at the Lamb in the Old Testament, they were trying to find perfection as close as possible. They took the Lamb into the house. They would search the Lamb. They would look all over it, make sure it didn't have any, you know, any bruises or anything like that. They wanted the best Lamb that they could find. They didn't want the one that had different colors on it. They wanted a spotless Lamb. They didn't want one that had something wrong with it. They wouldn't offer that to the Lord. It wasn't good enough. It had to be that spotless Lamb. And that's what Jesus was. And we know that even when He stood before Pilate, you know, what, you know, even Pilate himself says, what has this man done that's worthy of death? The wages of sin was death. He did not deserve it, but here He is. And He even tells him, you've got no power over Me unless the Father gives it. He said, I'm here as the righteous, you know, are You the Son of God? Yes, even as You've spoken, you know, You said it. Therefore, Jesus really didn't so much always, didn't He ever declare, I am the Son of God, you know, but in different ways He alluded to that. He shared that. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the one that's come down from heaven. I'm here. You know, other people declared it. Peter declared it. Mm-hmm. Others declared it. And He agreed with that. He never denied His sonship, but He didn't go around telling everybody, here I am. I'm the Son of God. You know, He said, no, I'm here to do the will of My Father. I hear what My Father says and I do what He says. You know, John 5:19, I can do nothing of Mine own self. We can't do anything of ourselves other than what He gives us. Amen. Hallelujah. And He has given us His righteousness, His forgiveness. It's a forgiveness that no place else can we find that in the world. There's no other religion that says you've been made right with God. Yeah. Where God came to man and rescued man from sin. There's not another religion around. There isn't. There's no one else. Not Buddha, Muhammad, nobody. You know, the Hindus, and there's people in the world that are constantly trying to make their self right with God. Some of them do terrible things. They'll go up, you know, they'll crawl up a mountain on their knees and whip themselves in the back, trying to get right with a God that has already made them right with Him through the death of His Son. And I know that's so simple, but it's so profound, and it's so important for us to remember that not based on what we did, but based upon what Jesus did alone at that cross, that He alone is our righteousness, that we can go to God because He paid the way. And we are therefore made right with Him. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. I get really excited about this. I really am excited about this message because it is so freeing for people that they have to realize it's not based on every good thing that I do. It's also not that God doesn't, you know, it's not that God doesn't see sin, you know, or a wrongdoing, but He is not condemning us for sin. He made the penalty. Jesus took the penalty of it. He totally bore it. He totally said, now you are right with God. We could say to people, all is forgiven, come to God. We then reconciled, be reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. Jesus paid that price. And if you can believe, you know, it is with that sacrifice alone that we can come to Him. If we'll believe and receive that sacrifice and say, yes, God, yes, I believe you became sin for me that I might be made. He says, then you're made that righteousness. If we can believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, Jesus, you are Lord. In other words, you are the master. You're the one that paid the price. Yes. Then righteousness is imputed. Righteousness is given. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. And that's what you sense. I mean, you see people, you know, if you lead somebody to Jesus and you watch that weight be lifted from them and the joy of God moves in and you're, whoo, wow. Whoo, something happened. Amen. They know something happened because they were changed from that darkness to light. Ephesians 4, let's start with 22. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation or the former way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Well, what's that old man? It's that sin nature. It was that nature that wanted to sin, but it was put off. We put off and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that you put on the new man, that new person that's on the inside of you. We put him on, Christ Jesus, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our nature, the very inside of us, our spirit being is transformed and created in true righteousness and holiness to God. Everybody's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, and the reason we do that is because we're constantly looking at our flesh, at the outside of us. And the Bible says that God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outside appearance of a person, but God is looking at the heart. And if our heart is given unto Him, when we receive Him, He gives that righteousness and true holiness to Him. We are declared righteous. We are actually declared holy to Him. Yes. Now, holiness, you know, or the act of holiness, yes, is up to us. But we are separated unto God in holiness. We are wholly His. We are completely His. We are made right with Him. The sacrifice was paid. The ability to stand before Him is ours now without the fear of any condemnation whatsoever. We don't have to look at it. We don't have to be sin conscious. We don't have to be conscious of every little thing that something has done. Oh God, I did this, because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. God made it foolproof, really. If we stay with Him, we're going to be all right. Amen. As long as we're seeking after Him and we're not actively trying to deny Jesus, we're in good standing with Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope we get over to where I want to go to eventually here. But let's turn to, those are our first two scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the main one. Ephesians 4:24, created, you know, after God. We're created in that righteousness and true holiness. So what's that talking about? Because you've already been made. It's not talking about our body, but our spirit. Yes. You know, the temple. What enters our temple? Our spirit is made right with God. And that's what God so desired. He said, I want to have a temple not made with hands, but one that is made of a human heart, of ourselves, that I might dwell on the inside of man. All the wonderful miracles and all the great things God did. Yes, He anointed men. He anointed their flesh. But He never was able to commune with them spirit to spirit. Their spirit was not yet born again. But now we've been born again in true righteousness and true holiness. That right standing with God was given to us. Our spirit was changed from darkness to light. We now have an avenue straight to the Father, which gives us peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's Amen. Good news. There's good news today in the house. Amen. I'm telling you, this is great news. Romans chapter 3. Let's go over there. This will be our third main passage here. We could go back up to 10, but I'll start in 20 here. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law was the knowledge of sin. In other words, the law that was under the old covenant law, law of Moses, the law that God brought him, they couldn't be made righteous by that law. If it could have been done, I know they would have done it. But the whole purpose of the law was to see that what, that to bring forth, to know that you're not right with God. You're unrighteous. The law was to say, okay, you have sinned. You know, don't commit adultery. They couldn't keep that. Don't have any other gods before me. They're always making the golden calf and other gods they try to put before God. You know, it was a constant battle. That flesh didn't, you know, the inside of them, it just, you know, I mean, Moses was only gone for 40 days and here they, oh, you know, and he comes down, they got the golden calf. Well, we just threw golden on the fire and out came this calf. They tell, now they're lying, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, and so it was just a thing that just continued on. You know, sin was what drove them, really. I mean, their nature was death. It wasn't, it's not that they didn't love God. They loved God with everything that they could. With all their heart, I believe, you know, with everything that's in them, all their flesh and all their soul. But their spirit could not be changed. The real heart of that person was not changed to know God. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or made righteous, we could say. Here freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation or the payment, you know, through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. To decree, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just or righteous, and the righteousness of him which believe in Jesus. We can see the same thing, the justified or made righteous, okay? It's a word, you know, justified used in Scripture to mean that in Christ, forgiveness and the whole activity of sin was made righteous. He declared us right with him. He became that. He justified us. He made us right with him. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Faith in what Jesus did. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified, or a man is made righteous by faith without the deeds of the law. In other words, he can't do it himself. None of us could live good enough to be good enough to go to heaven, to be good enough to be the sacrifice for sin. None of us can clean ourselves up good enough. We just couldn't do it.
That's right.
No man until Jesus. And why was Jesus completely righteous? Because he was not born in sin. He was born of his Father. He had the blood of God in him. Yes, he came through Mary, but he said a body was prepared for him. You see, his nature was different. His bloodline was from God, which was untainted with sin. Our bloodline was all tainted with sin, so we are born, and through the DNA of Adam, through the DNA of man, sin was in us. But when we receive Christ, we put our faith in him, that sin is taken away. And we are made the righteousness of God. So is, okay, verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. See, circumcision was an important thing in the Old Testament. You know, it was the cutting away, the throwing away of the flesh. It was a type and a shadow where we now have that that place of God on the inside of us. And we have the cutting away. We die to that flesh. We die to that old nature. And we receive the nature of Christ. And there in our spirit, if we look in there, there's that scar that's in there. Our nature was ripped out. And we receive the very life of God. Yes. The very nature of Christ moved in. And when Satan sees us, he doesn't just see us. He can see that righteousness in there. And when we've got that breastplate, we're being mindful of righteousness. No, what Jesus did alone. See, that's the real breastplate of righteousness. It's not something we just do. You know, it's not, you know, they liken it unto the armor. Yes, it's the armor of God in the sense that we have the knowledge and we understand and we take by faith. Yes, I've been made right with God through the blood of the cross alone, through the sacrifice of Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I'm going to read a few scriptures now and then I'm going to go to another place. Sorry. Chapter 1, be helpful. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are you made, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But of him are you, you and I together, we are in Christ Jesus, who of God, he was made to us that wisdom. He's made to us righteousness, that ability to stand before God. Without any fear, no condemnation, no rejection. We're totally accepted by him in that sanctification and the redemption. He bought us back. He purchased us. He paid the price for us that we might be made that we might be made righteous. That whole purchased possession. Hallelujah. Woo, it's good news today. Hallelujah. We're found in him. Paul said in Philippians 3:9, he said, being found in him, not of a righteousness of my own, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, he said, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, it's a faith thing. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, the gift of righteousness we talked about in Romans 5. We saw the gift that was given. Yes, we are created unto good works, but the good works are not what creates us. Hallelujah. God prepared things for us to do. He's got a whole plan laid out for me and you, each one stepping in and filling their place and finding their place in Christ and in the body of Christ. But those things are not what gives us righteousness. What Jesus did at the cross alone will save us. That is what placed us where we are and gives us the right to walk with him. Hallelujah. And to find our place in the body and to find the ability that God put within us and to allow those things that are in Christ already. Hallelujah. That he already purchased. He already prepared for us to do before the foundation of the world. And we find that plan and we find that purpose. We were predestined to be conformed into his image, into the very image of Jesus. See, those things come as a result of that righteousness, that right standing with him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's look back in the Old Testament for a minute. Isaiah chapter 54, 14 through 17. I know a lot of people like Isaiah, but I love Isaiah too. He has some things he prophesied about and talked about. But here we see some things that this righteousness can bring. Let's start with the 14th verse, Isaiah 54:14. It says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall utterly gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. But 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. For every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, for their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So we see here that when we have that righteousness, and we be established in that righteousness, we're far from oppression. We don't have to fear. We're far from terror. In other words, the sense that God's going to get me, we don't have to fear. We don't have to have that about us any longer. He paid that price, and that no weapon formed against us has to prosper. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment. See, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes with judgment. You know, he's the adversary, the one that wants to try to say, hey, you're not good enough. You can't do it. You can't walk with God. You keep making mistakes. Well, praise the Lord. We might make a few mistakes here and there, but we've got a foolproof plan, because God said, if you happen to fall, or if you miss the mark, if you sin, 1 John 1:9, right? It talks even about righteousness, because he says, if we confess our sins, I know you know this scripture, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you committed an unrighteous act, or you got unrighteous by a sin of some sort, or you walked in some disobedience with God, you say, well, I've tried and I failed and I tried. Well, don't quit now. Hallelujah. You can be made purely righteous. He has already created your righteousness. He's given you that righteousness. He said you can now come boldly to the throne of grace to help in time of need. And if you have a time of need, or if we sin or we miss the mark, we can say, Father, I've missed it. I've failed. I've made the mistake. I've sinned, Lord, against you and against heaven. You know, and you can say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Father. And he won't just forgive you, but he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you'll stand before him. Yes, but I don't feel forgiven. I've had those times too. And I've had to take the word of God and just said, no, I've confessed it to the Lord. And I move on about my day. And those feelings will follow. Eventually they'll catch up to you. But we don't base our life upon feeling, but upon faith in what Jesus did at the cross alone. And what God's word has said. Surely he's borne our sickness, carried our diseases. Amen. We believe God's word and we confessed him. We put faith in what he said here for righteousness, for forgiveness, for the full cleansing of us before him. Hallelujah. Good news. Good news in the house today. We're far from oppression. We don't have to have fear. A person is declared righteous by God's grace through faith in Christ. And it all depends on Christ's merit and worthiness rather than on our own merit or our own worthiness. Amen. Amen. We already know. I mean, I know what the Bible said. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But we got a new righteousness. Mm-hmm. We receive the gift of righteousness that comes through what Jesus did based upon his merit. That gives us that right to stand strong and to believe him for all that he purchased for us. He redeemed mankind, not partway, not halfway, but completely. Spirit, soul, and body, you belong to him. He bought us. We are his temple. We are his body. We belong to him in every single way. Now, yes, eventually this body has to fall off and we get a new one, because he said, I just declare it dead. It's really of not much use to me at all. But we got to have this body to stay in this world. But while we're here, we can yield unto our spirit, unto his spirit. Let our spirit bring forth all that God desires in the earth. And that's what we've been talking about. That these signs and wonders, they come to pass because we know who we are. Because we stand in what Jesus did alone and what he purchased. See, I can't pray for somebody and say, well, I've been so good today, Lord. I know you could use me. I prayed 3 hours and and all those things are wonderful and they're important and they're great that we maintain fellowship with the Father. But but what really comes down to is what Jesus did alone. Amen. When we yield to him at any point in our time, it's not about where we are or what's about us or who's doing what. I remember being in this particular Bible study and we were trying to talk about Jesus and we're talking about the Lord and this particular guy kept coming back and forth and in and out and I'm going, what in the world is going on? It wasn't my house, so we were invited and we're trying to teach and we're trying to talk about the things of God and it kept getting interrupted here and there and back and forth. And finally we said, well, let's pray. And we begin to pray, and the glory of God just, boom, came down. This guy went out of the power. He sees a vision. He had a vision of Jesus coming on the cross. And, it was just awesome, And he saw these things and was talking about it. And, we had church. Glory to God. God came in to people that, they didn't have that much knowledge. They didn't know all these things, but God revealed it supernaturally. Yeah. It was greater than anything I could teach because he revealed it. Yeah. He showed it. How many knows one experience with God can outdo 1,000 messages? Yeah. Yes, I hear what you're saying, but void of experience, see, there still tends to be in us a little bit of doubt. Hallelujah. But when we experience him, when we know him, based on what Jesus did at the cross alone, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. There's forgiveness for us and cleansing. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. He said, you've been here all this time, brother. You finally got to Romans 8. Well, we could have lived in Romans 8 probably for the last couple of months, but we're going to be there a lot eventually, I'm sure. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Well, we'll just start at the first verse because I like it. But anyway, 8, 1 through 4. We'll read 1 through 4 today. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now here he's talking after the flesh is after that sin nature. Mm-hmm. But you received a new spirit. So you're walking after that new nature, that new spirit that you received. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, the righteousness of the law. In other words, Jesus fully kept the law. So that law was fulfilled in Christ. And his righteousness then is given to us. When we receive, and we receive Christ Jesus, we receive that new nature, and we can walk after our spirit now. We don't have to walk after, we can't walk after sin and death, after flesh, referring to many times that old nature that loved the flesh, that wanted to live in the flesh, that didn't care anything about living for God, just living for itself. Amen. Living for yourself, living for the flesh, what feels good, do it, they say. The world would say, or the flesh would say. Well, we no longer walk after that because we've been born again. And we don't have the condemnation. There's therefore now no condemning sentence. You've been placed, that's taken before the judge. And he says, innocent, not guilty. Well, based on what, sir? Exhibit A, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exhibit B, the stripes upon his back. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. The fact, Your Honor, that he died under the penalty of sin. Mm-hmm. He was made sin.
Yes.
Glory to God. Based upon the fact that he went into the tomb, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. He was raised from death to life.
Yes.
Glory to God. By that nature that's within him. He received a nature from God. He took the penalty completely. He died under the penalty. He said, "Oh, Father." He knew his Father. I believe that's what he was, you know, when he was in the garden. He was, you know, sweating those drops of blood because he knew he would be separated from his Father. See, sin is what separated man from God. But through that death, burial, and I'm sure part of it was he didn't want to die. I mean, who wants to be nailed to a cross? I do. I certainly don't. Especially when he knew. He already knows he's done nothing wrong. They even declared it. He said he's done nothing worthy of death. The Bible says at any moment he could have said, "Lord, okay, I'm done. I'm finished. I can't go through with it. Send the angels. Let's, you know, if there's another way." But he said, "No, there's no other way." But the Bible says, "But for the joy that was set before him." You were the joy that was set before him. He wanted to destroy that sin because he wanted the fellowship with man that only that could bring, where he could actually move and place within you and cause you to be born as a child of God. Jesus was the firstborn from among the brethren. In other words, he died spiritually for you and I. He paid that price. He took that sin. And when he came to life, you came to life. We were buried with him. We looked at that not too long ago in Romans 6, where we were buried with him. We were raised with him. Hallelujah. That resurrection power that we talked about Easter Sunday that came alive on the inside of us. And the righteousness that moved in. You being born of true righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. That righteousness and holiness on the inside of you that came alive when we received Christ. Glory to God. And Romans chapter 9 verse 30. It says that, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith." See, the Jews came in, and for a long time they didn't think that anybody else could be saved. But he said, now even Gentiles, those that didn't know the law, those that didn't have the law before, they became a law to themselves when they became born again. And they received that righteousness, and it spoke to them. It would speak to them, because the Bible says the law of God's written on our heart by the Holy Spirit, by God. He put that law within our heart. And now we know. We either accuse or excuse the right things. We know right from wrong. Our conscience been changed. The conscience was changed so that we can now discern good and evil. We know what's right and wrong. We don't have to follow after flesh, after sin. We can say, "No, we know that's wrong. No, I'm not going to do that. Yes, I sense that in the inside." We knew something. I don't know, maybe it's never happened to you, but there's times when God, you know, just on the inside, I know not to do that. And then later on, I read it in the Bible. I thought, wow, isn't that awesome that God already placed within us a conscience that's alive unto him. And we see that over in Hebrews. Now, this is interesting. Oh, man, these two chapters. We'll get into that sometime, but the whole thing. Let's start with the 10th chapter. We'll just start in chapter 10. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." They constantly remembered. They still had that consciousness of sin. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he saith, 'Sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily, ministering and sacrificing oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law, what, into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts have been sprinkled from that evil conscience, no longer there. Now our conscience is pure to God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd read all that, but we found the verse there in 22. But he is that sacrifice, and it said many things that we've already been talking about, that he wrote his law upon our heart, upon our mind. We are now righteous before him. We don't have that sin conscience that's constantly bearing down on us. But that righteousness sets us free from the oppression, free from fear, free from condemnation, brings peace and quietness within, and causes us to have that faith that rises up within in what Jesus has already done. He paid a price. He was that sacrifice. He took the sin. He said, now I give the gift of righteousness, of that right standing with the Father. Now we have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, you know, talked about peace with God because we've been justified. We've been made righteous. Mm-hmm. You know, that one sacrifice once for all, that we may reign in life, yes, through the one Jesus Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. This is good news. I know it's very simple, but it's very profound.
Yes, it is.
It's very important to continue to remember. And sometimes any of us can say, hey, you know, I'm not good enough. We need to realize, no, I'm not, but he was.
Yes.
And my faith is not in me, in my goodness, and how great I am now, but my faith is in who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's in me, because righteousness dwells in me, I desire to do all the things that are right. I desire to follow after him in true righteousness and true holiness. I desire to follow after that spirit that he placed within me. And the righteousness then, which has moved into me, pushes out all unrighteousness. It continues to work in me till all, there's not one thing. I am right before the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I can walk in that righteousness. I can walk in the holiness. Mm-hmm. I can give myself to the Father and I can obey him. And I can fulfill the call that he's placed upon your life and my life.
Mm-hmm.
because we've been predestined by Him to be conformed to the very image of the Master.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Good news today. Yes. Good news today.
Yes.
So faith exercise brings us into vital union with God in Christ, and inevitably produces the righteous life that is in conformity to the will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It produces that. That's what that righteousness does, into the very will of the Father, into the very will of God, and all the things that are in Him: healing, blessing, prosperity, faith, peace, kindness, all of these things that we are, that we actually become, because He paid that price and gave the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's continue to pursue Him in that. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to see a lot more things happen. I believe that. You know, it talks in Hebrews 5 that, you know, part of our problem, we're, you know, it's still part of the milk of the word. We're not skillful in righteousness. Unskillfulness, you know, when we don't remember it, we don't realize that. That's a basic, I know it's a basic truth, but we are saved by faith in Christ and Him alone. Hallelujah. His merit, what He has done. And so, Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth of righteousness, that we have peace with You, Father God, that we can be far from oppression, far from fear, that we don't have to be in torment, Father, of any kind, that the enemy's power was broken over us, and now we have You. We have Your acceptance, Your forgiveness, Your cleansing, Your holiness, Lord. We thank You. We praise You, and we give You glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen.